So most of us have phones and devices that we're on most of the time. And so I want us to actually take a moment to imagine something. Imagine a scenario where you get a voicemail that has overwhelming good news for you, good news that can change your entire life. But then when you look at the voicemail, it says, from an unknown number. Now, I actually don't have to stretch my imagination so much for this, to picture this, because this actually happened to me once, several years ago. From an unknown number, I got a message that forever changed my life.
Hace años recibí un mensaje de voz de parte de un número desconocido, un mensaje que cambió mi vida.
So just a little background on this. Some of you know that my wife Charlotte and I, we met on a mission trip experience back in 2007, that was over 12 years ago, when we were both in college. We met, we related, and then we decided to move forward in a committed relationship, and then we wanted to decide the next step and move forward in a life of marriage together. But there were just two small things that were in the way. The first was about three continents, which added up to about 10,000 miles of distance. You know, my wife, Charlotte, she grew up in East Africa, in the country of Uganda. And it's very interesting because she's had to have this conversation with several people, and even I here in the U.S., growing up here in the U.S., but a reminder, Africa is not a country. You know, Africa is a continent. It's the second biggest continent in the world, larger than North America. Over 54 countries in it. And Charlotte was from one of those countries called Uganda in the eastern part of Africa. So there was that 10,000 miles of distance from each other, just that little thing in the way. And then the second thing that was in the way was probably just as difficult. And that was the bureaucracy of the U.S. migration process. We moved forward in it, in the spirit of love, knowing that God will make a way. And really, that was our slogan as we were dating, as we committed, as we engaged, as we married, as we went to those different stages together over the years. But our slogan has always been that, with Christ at the center and community around us. Because we knew that we couldn't do it alone. This was bigger than us. We couldn't achieve it on our own. And really, that's something that we've been able to pass on to other couples that are in any of those stages, either relating or dating or friendship or committed or engaging or preparing to get married, is you can't do it alone. It must be with Christ at the center and community around you. And that's how we were able to get to this point. You know, it was great because it all came to pass. We got through those two very big obstacles. But the final stage for us being together and starting our life of marriage together all came down to one moment. There was one final stage, one final moment that would determine whether or not we were going to start our life together as husband and wife. And it came down to one particular interview, in one particular day, and in one particular country. As mentioned earlier, my wife is from Uganda in East Africa, and the way that the visa process happens over there in East Africa, at least back then, it meant that all East Africans had to travel to Nairobi, Kenya. We have some folks here that have been there and are from Kenya, but even back then, everyone that was from East Africa had to go to Nairobi, Kenya for this final interview. So if you think about what I'm saying, that's pretty amazing, right? It would be like us here. It would be similar to telling someone in the U.S. that they have to first go to Canada, then go back home, and then finally get to where their final destination is. So my wife had to go through that. And since the interview was in another country, my wife had no cell phone service at the time. It wasn't working. And that had me really just biting my nails, counting every minute, because I knew that that interview happened, but I didn't know what the outcome was. And so I knew I wasn't able to get an immediate answer, an immediate result, because there was no communication. She had no reception, no phone. So I decided to simply trust God, to let it go, and to just wait a couple of days and, you know, surrender it and know that God's will would be done. It wasn't that easy. I was really nervous, and I was thinking about it over and over again. I was a bit anxious that night. But then I decided the only thing that I could do was that go to bed, rest, give it to God, and keep going. Lo confié, puse eso en las manos de Dios. And then after a few days, I thought, yeah, maybe Charlotte would get back home and she'd have an opportunity to give me a call. But then something unexpected happened. Later that night, I got a call at 4 a.m. and I was startled and I just got out of bed and I looked at the phone and it just said, unknown caller. So 4 a.m, unknown caller, and then I just didn't even pick up because I just said, oh, who knows, it's maybe just like a telemarketer, someone trying to sell me something. I just left the phone there. But then I woke up in the morning, and the first thing that came up on the phone was a reminder that I had a missed call from unknown caller. And as I listened to the voicemail, it was from a number in the country of Kenya. And it was actually my wife letting me know that she had received the visa and that it was going to be a new beginning, a new start. All I remember, I didn't even understand anything on the phone, but I was able to guess because all I heard on the voicemail were the words, we got it, we got it, we got it. Praise God, we got it. So I was able to guess that it was Charlotte and not just someone trying to sell me something. Now, in this moment, I didn't know who it was with that unknown caller. It was Charlotte calling from a friend's phone because she was calling from Kenya, didn't have a phone with her. But there was this overwhelming good news that came to me that changed the rest of my life based on an unknown call, based through a voicemail. There wasn't even really a back and forth or a conversation, me saying, wait a minute, are you sure that this really happened? No, I just had to receive it. And so I had two choices with this voicemail. Tuve dos opciones con este mensaje de voz. I could either receive this word, I could receive this good news that I had just been given, or I could ignore it. I could ignore it and pretend as if it didn't happen. You know, that's the funny thing, right? With it looks like someone got a voicemail, but that's the funny thing, really, with phones these days, right? Like my grandma, the way she thinks about a phone is very different than the way I and my brothers and sisters think about a phone, right? If she gets a phone call, if the phone rings in her house phone, she picks it up because she thinks it's important, right? Someone's calling her. And similarly, now in this generation, we've kind of learned like, oh no, you know, I need to screen it. I need to know exactly what's happening before I can even pick up. But really, I had two choices in this case. I could receive this word or ignore it or reject it. Now, I can't immediately do anything with that voicemail. I can't argue with that voicemail. I can't push back on it unless I look like a crazy person or a mad person, right? Just arguing on the phone with someone that's not on the other end. But similar here in what we just read in this passage in the Bible. The book of Hebrews, this book that is somewhat rare in the Bible, that doesn't get so much attention. The book of Hebrews is a voicemail from a mysterious caller with news that if we receive this good news, then it changes everything. En el libro de Hebreos vemos, es como recibir un mensaje de voz de parte de un número desconocido. So what do we mean by this? Just a little bit of background on the book of Hebrews. First and foremost, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. There are different books in the Bible. You see, oh yeah, that was written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That was written by David. That was written by this Moses. That was written by Paul. But the book of Hebrews has an unknown author. We don't know who wrote it. We don't know whether it was a man or a woman. We don't know if it was an early leader of the church or a community. We don't know exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's not exactly clear. Some people have even said that, you know what, maybe this is not even so much a book, but it's a lot more like a sermon or a message to the people of God, even in those early days, really talking about who God is and what this good news means. So this book, this message, this sermon that we find in Hebrews that we just read about a little bit, what we do know is that it was written a long time ago, in the year 60 or 70, and it was addressed to primarily Jewish converts, people that knew a different way, but Jesus was inviting them into a new way. So it was written to people that held on to tradition, but Jesus was inviting them into something new, into something deeper.
El libro de Hebreos fue escrito para gente que conoce la tradición, pero Cristo los está invitando a algo nuevo, algo más profundo.
It was written to a group of people who were tempted to go back to their old ways, to go back to their old ways, their old habits, their old mannerisms, their old habits, their old actions, their old ways of viewing God and having God and the gospel and the Bible. They wanted all of that to conform to their ideas instead of conforming and being transformed by this good news that the Bible invites us into. So to put it very shortly and very plainly for us, the book of Hebrews, this very good news by an unknown caller, this is a letter for everyone. And especially for all people who think that they know something about God, or for people who feel like they don't know anything about God. The book of Hebrews invites us to receive something new.
El libro de Hebreos nos invita a recibir algo nuevo.
It invites us actually not only to receive something new, but something better. And not only something better, but to get to know someone better. To get to know the living God, the living Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals himself to us and extends a hand out to us right where we are. He meets us where we are, and he takes us where we need to be. The book of Hebrews invites us to receive this power, this supremacy, this sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ, who is God revealing himself perfectly to us. That is no more or no less the message that this mysterious caller has left on our voicemail. Hebrews is for everyone. Whether we know nothing about God, or we have some interest in God, or whether we think we know everything, or we're an expert on godly matters, what happens in this beautiful message is that the Word of God has a way of equalizing all of us. We all become on the same level. God invites us to receive a new Word from God, a living Word from God. And what the book of Hebrews called in the passage that was just read for us, the better word of God, which is God himself revealing himself through his son, through Jesus, saying, here I am. This is who I am. I've come to you. You can't make it all the way to me. I've become like you so that you could be with me. Now, I'll be honest. I know some of us can hear this and we can maybe get a bit turned off or discouraged by language around Jesus being the better word of God or the supreme word of God or the living word of God. I want to encourage you to just stick with me in this. Stick with what this scripture is saying. And before we get into all of the questions and all of the abstractness and all of the, you know, philosophy and theology of that, let's not stay up here in the abstract. Let's stay down here in what this scripture and what this good news is inviting us into, to receive something better, to receive someone better, the living Lord Jesus. To go beyond just in truth as information, but to really connect with God in a deeper way through living truth, through his Son. So what we see here is that Jesus is God's direct communication. And Jesus is the key to really connecting to the heart of God and for us to be able to walk with God in this life. We see that in this passage. Vemos que Cristo es la clave a conectar con el Dios vivo. If we open up the scripture and we have it put it right up, the first two verses once again, we see something pretty amazing in this passage. And that is that the Bible here declares that God has spoken. La Biblia aquí declara que Dios ha hablado. We see in verse 1 and 2, the ways that God has spoken, the ways that God has communicated to us. In verse 1 and 2, we see that long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So, what do we see here? A lot of the Bible, a lot of the scripture, is actually the story of God's continued and persistent communication toward us. We see throughout the scriptures how God has communicated with his people. Hebrews here, this book, actually embraces this biblical theme that God has communicated with us in different seasons and in different ways. It begins with this beautiful and mysterious declaration and affirmation that God has spoken. Dios ha hablado, es lo que declara esta escritura. So what do we learn by that? Because God has spoken, that means that words matter. Las palabras tienen significancia. Words have the power to create new worlds. Words have the power to make things new. That's why we took time this weekend to go up to the mountains, to take time to pray, to share new words so that we can see new realities in the name of Jesus. When we speak them, we can come to see a new reality. Words have that power to create new things, to create new relationships, to create new realities. I mean, a couple of years ago, this church didn't even exist. It was a prayer. It was a dream. It was spoken. And then God brought it together. In fact, we see this declaration that God has spoken. And the way that the Bible even begins with the creation of the world, some of you remember, how did God create the world? He spoke it into existence. And we see this, that God spoke creation into existence. And it is this creation which introduces the first stage that we see of God speaking to us. You know, I love how we see this in the scriptures, that the first stage of God speaking to us is actually in creation. Creation is God's hints to us. You know, when we see the mountains, when we see the stars, when we see the beauty of creation, that's God's hint saying, I'm here. I created this. And we see in the letter in the New Testament, in Romans, Paul, who was an early Christian leader, he actually talks about this a little bit. He gives us a reminder of nature, of creation, as the hint of God communicating to us. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up, but I'll read it for us. In Romans 1:20, it says this. It says, for his invisible attributes, for God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So in all of creation, that's God's hint to us saying, hey, I'm here. I created this. I created you. So creation is the first step in God communicating to us. When viewed rightly, nature hints and points to the glory of God. You know, when we went yesterday up to that mountaintop, a few of us, or you've had this experience maybe in the ocean or when you've just been in nature and you realize, you know what? This is beautiful. This is God's hint. This is God's creation. No one could have made this. So nature gives us that hint of God's communication toward us. But then there's a second stage in God speaking to us.
Hay un segundo paso en Dios hablando con nosotros.
And that's what it says here in this passage. It says that God has spoken to us through the prophets. So through prophets and through teachers, God speaks to us. But the main task of anyone that is a prophet or a teacher of the Word of God is actually to provide signs of the glory of God. Anyone who says that they have that gift or that ability or the ministry of prophecy, it always needs to be because it points to the glory of God, not to themselves, not to make themselves bigger. So we see even throughout the Bible, different prophets, right? We see Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Elijah, some of the major prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. And here the book of Hebrews actually highlights how they serve as signs that point forward to Jesus. So we see that God speaking through prophets is a lot like the way that signposts and street signs speak to us, right? Signposts and street signs, they point to a destination. They aren't the destination themselves. So we see that that's how God spoke through the prophets. They were always pointing forward, pointing to Jesus, pointing to something bigger. And again, that is the primary role of prophets. And it's the second stage of God communicating to us through prophets, through teachers, through people that point to the glory of God. But they point hearers, they point us to Jesus, to the better word of God, to God himself revealing himself fully to us in Jesus. So that's the first stage of God communicating through us is through nature. And then the second stage is through prophets and teachers. And then the third stage, the final stage that we see here in this passage is that God communicates to us by his Son. Dios se comunica con nosotros por medio de su Hijo, por medio de Jesucristo. It is only when engaged in communication that we can grow in a relationship. Anyone that's ever been in a relationship knows that communication is key. La comunicación es clave para crecer en una relación. It's not going to be through hints. It's not going to be through signs. It's going to be through direct communication, right? So in the same way, even in getting to those next levels in relationship, God gets to that deepest level in relationship with us. But no one is ever going to get married just because someone is hinting at it, right? Or someone is kind of pointing to a sign saying, hey, maybe we should do this. No, we only get to that next level through direct communication. Not through hints, not through signs. And when we trust in Jesus, this is how we can enter into communication, into direct connection with God. So when we say here, you know, the role of communicating about God really just comes down to this idea that Jesus is where the life is at. That's why we exist, even as a church, to point people toward that truth. That he is the source of life. He can make us new. Every sermon points to this.
Cada mensaje apunta a esta verdad que Cristo es la vida.
And we see here throughout the scriptures that the drama of God's story communicating to us, beginning with nature, then with prophets and teachers, it actually all culminates in Jesus. It points to him. Signs direct us to a purpose. And that purpose is Jesus. It's to be in direct connection, in direct communication with God. And we can trust in Jesus today as God's perfect communication to us.
Hoy podemos confiar en Cristo como la directa comunicación de Dios con nosotros.
Why? How exactly can we do this? Well, we see this here in this passage in verses 3 and 4. If we can put the scripture back up. In verses 3 and 4, it says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. And that Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature.
and that Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So what we see here is this central claim of these verses is that Jesus perfectly reflects who God is. So to put it clearly, to look at Jesus is like looking at a mirror, looking into a mirror directly at the face and the heart of God himself. Because the character of God is exactly reproduced and is exactly reflected in the person of Jesus. So if we want to know God, then we must know Jesus.
Si queremos conocer a Dios, debemos que conocer y conectarnos con Jesucristo.
So as churchgoers, or even as people with some faith, it's easy to be a fan of some ideas or some thoughts or some phrases. It's easy to say and to really proclaim that, sure, Jesus is like God. I can be a fan of that. But what we see here is this deeper news, this greater truth that the author of Hebrews is confronting us with. This harder truth, but even more life-giving, and that is the truth that God is like Jesus. So if we want to know God, we can do that directly through Jesus. He is the pathway for limited, broken people like you and me. He gives us a way where it seemed like there was no way to connect back to God. Some people have said that before, that the cross is what fills in that gap between us and God. Jesus made a bridge. He made a way where it seemed like there was none. That's exactly what Jesus does. It can be a temptation for some of us sometimes. You know, as believers or non-believers alike, we can attempt to make Jesus and the gospel and this bigger word, this bigger news that God invites us into, we can want to make it smaller and smaller. But really, why? Why is there that temptation from us sometimes to make the gospel and this good news that God invites us into, why do we want to make it smaller? Because if this is true, then really what happens is if Jesus is at the center of it all, then that gives us a reality check. We get a wake-up call.
Si Jesucristo realmente es el centro de todo el universo, eso nos recuerda de unas verdades difíciles.
The first is that if Jesus really is the center of it all, if he is here at the center of all of reality and of all of the universe, then that reminds us of something. That reminds us that there is someone at the center of reality, and it is not you, and it is not me. It is Jesus. He's at the center of it all. And the second reminder that we get is, if this is true, that Jesus is the center, that reminds us that Jesus is the one constant in all of reality.
Nos recuerda esta palabra que Dios es lo único constante en toda la realidad.
He is God. All of creation will come to pass, including the things that we hold on to so dearly. The things like safety, the things like security, the idols in our lives. Those good things that we want to make God things. If Jesus is the center, that means that those things are going to pass.
Esas cosas van a pasar, pero Cristo va a seguir constante.
You know, I love one of the definitions of what an idol is, right? An idol are those things that we get touchy about when someone tries to touch on them. All of those things will come to pass, but Jesus will remain constant in the center. And then the third reality check that we get from this truth that Jesus is where the life is at and Jesus is the center of it all is that he is the source of life. Not only that, but Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's nature. So if I want to know God, as we said earlier, then I must know Jesus. Jesus is God's perfect communication to us.
for all of humanity. And really, for that reason, it is only Him, not anything else, that will be the key to closeness with God.
Cristo va a ser la única clave a acercarnos a Dios.
So if you hear anything from this message, from this sermon, I really want you to just hear this. Jesus is God's direct communication to us. And Jesus is the key to closeness with God.
Jesucristo es la clave de cómo acercarnos a Dios. Jesucristo es la comunicación directa de Dios a nosotros.
So to affirm that Jesus is Lord is transformational. This is a very simple truth that can transform all of our lives. And this journey begins today by trusting that Jesus is more, that Jesus truly is the center, that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And because He's at the center, that means that I'm not, that means that you're not. That means that the people, the places, the things, the outcomes that keep us up at night, those things aren't. Jesus is.
So just to conclude, I'll conclude with one question. Voy a concluir con una pregunta.
And that question is this. What are you looking at?
¿Qué estás mirando? ¿Dónde estás enfocado?
What are you looking at? Where are your eyes placed? And I don't ask that question just to be confrontational or just to be loud, but because this is the central question that we see in this beautiful passage that we read today. This is the central question that the book of Hebrews asks us. What are you looking at? Where are your eyes fixed on? Hebrews does not give us the option to just conveniently ignore Jesus, because as the center of reality, Jesus is inevitable. We may be able to ignore it for a while, but we're going to have to confront the center of reality eventually. And I know, as well as anyone else, that in this life we can get busy. And when we get busy, what do? We keep Jesus at a distance. We keep Jesus at an arm's length periphery. And we can do this in several ways. We can actually keep Jesus at a distance by simply walking around Jesus, knowing that, yeah, He's there, He's the center of reality, but I'm just going to walk around. I'm not going to get too close. Some of us can still keep Jesus at an arm's length by not only walking around, but actually seeing that Jesus is there at the center, but we're not looking at Him, we're just looking down. We're looking down at information about God, or at things that we think we know about God. But the beautiful invitation that Jesus gives us is not to go around, not to look down, but to look at, to look directly at Jesus, to connect to the One who has made a way, to connect to the life giver. Friends, brothers, sisters, may we do that today. May we stop and be still. May we put our eyes up, and may we look directly to Jesus as we place our real life trust in Him, knowing that He's the center, not us, knowing that He's the constant, not us, and knowing that He makes a way where it seems like there is no way. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord, we thank You and we give You praise for just the gift of being able to gather as Your community. Te damos gracias, Señor, que tenemos la habilidad de reunirnos, Señor, como Tu familia, como Tu comunidad.
And as Your people, Lord, we want to just offer ourselves, God. Would You receive us as living sacrifices, God? We don't come with much. We come with all of that baggage, God. We come with the mistakes of the past.
But you're still willing, Lord, to receive us just as we are. Estás dispuesto, Señor, a recibirnos tal como estamos esta mañana. And Lord, I just pray that today you would help us, God, to stop walking around you, to stop seeing you, but just being distracted and looking down at what's in front of us, God. But give us the courage, give us the strength, give us the ability to look up. To look up and to keep our eyes on you, God. Not on the circumstance, not on the situation, not on the problem, Lord, but on you. And Lord, we just pray that today, Lord, you would help us to receive what you had to say, that direct communication to us, Lord. And as we go out from here this week, help us to respond and to live that out. Ayúdanos, Dios, esta semana a responder a tu verdad y a tu amor. And Lord God, for some of us, we're needing to take that first step with you, others that next step. Lord, as we've said, you're the one that makes a pathway. You're the one that makes a bridge, a road. You're the one that makes a way where it seemed like there was none. And today I just pray that everyone here would know that there is a way. There is a way for you today. Jesus has made one. And I pray that together we would be able to follow him. Follow him through that way that he has made. Knowing that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be your strength. He will be your shield. He will be your provider. Dios, ayúdanos a seguirte hoy, Dios Santo. And Lord, for some of us, we need to take those first steps toward you as we're looking at you for the very first time. For others, Lord, we've known about you, but we've just spent our lives walking around and looking down. But it's time to look up and have our eyes focused on you. Take us, Lord, to where we need to be. And we thank you, Lord, that you don't just force us there immediately, but you take us through that process. You meet us where we're at. And you hold us by the hand. And when it gets tough, Lord, you carry us. And God, we pray that today you would help us above anything else to hold on. To hold on to you, Lord, in this journey. We thank you, Lord, that in this journey, you've made a way. We pray all this in the faithful name of Jesus.